Welcome to the Hillside Church Sermon Podcast. We're thrilled to have you join our community. Each week, Pastor Brad, our pastoral team, or our guest speakers bring the Bible's timeless truths to life, offering messages that are not just inspiring, but deeply relevant to your daily journey. Whether you're joining us in Airdrie or tuning in from anywhere around the world, we hope these sermons encourage you, strengthen your faith, and help you feel more connected to Jesus and to us. Thanks for being part of our Hillside family. Let's grow together in faith and love. As family, we go.
This week, we are in week two of our Advent series, Hidden in Plain Sight. And this week, we're going to start out in Genesis chapter 12. And so if you've got your Bibles and you'd like to follow along, we're going to start out in Genesis chapter 12. Just like last week, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And so if you've got a paper Bible, it'll be right at the very beginning. If you're using a digital Bible, it'll be right at the top of your drop-down menu. First book of the Bible, we're going to be in chapter 12. The whole premise for this sermon series, it's really quite simple. The Christmas story didn't start in Bethlehem. It didn't start with shepherds and angels. It didn't start with stars or mangers. It doesn't even start with Mary and Joseph. But Christmas is the fulfillment of a promise that God has been weaving from the very beginning. From the very beginning of the Old Testament, sometimes quietly, often subtly, but it's always there. And last week, we started at the beginning. We stood in Genesis 3, right in the wreckage of the fall. Right in the worst moment in human history. The moment where we saw what God wanted for us, where we knew what God had for us, and we decided to go our own direction. And we saw that in this moment, in the darkest moment in human history, we see God speaks a promise. God speaks this promise that a rescuer is coming. And that evil was not going to win. But here's the question that naturally follows. God speaks this promise in Genesis chapter 3. The question that naturally follows is, okay, so how is God going to do that? It's one thing to make a promise. Anybody can promise anything. And sometimes making promises makes us feel good. But what really counts with a promise is whether or not you do anything with it. And so it's great. God promised that he's going to do something. But what does it look like? How does God take this promise from a statement, from a whisper, to reality? Because if you pick up reading from where we left off last week, that if you read through Genesis 3, you realize something pretty quickly. You realize humanity doesn't get any better. We get louder. We get more violent, we get divided, we get proud, and we get lost. And the journey continues, this downward spiral continues until Genesis chapter 11, where we come to the story of Babel. People trying to reach heaven on their own terms. They build a tower as a symbol of their own independence. They say together, we will climb our way up. We will secure our own future. We will be our own God. And in this moment, God confuses their language, and this project that's fueled by pride collapses into confusion and scattering. But it's at this moment where humanity just seems to fall further and further and further away, right when you expect God to step back, to take a step back from humanity and say, I am trying with you people and you are not helping. Right when you would expect God to step back, God steps in. But not with a lightning bolt, not with an army, not with a quick fix, but instead He starts with a person. An ordinary person. In an ordinary place. Now, before we read our scripture this morning, I want to just let you know who it is that we're going to be talking about, because we're going to be reading together the beginning of the story of a man named Abram. Now, who is Abram? He's not a spiritual superhero. He's not a king. He's not a priest. He's not a pastor. We're not told if he's a good man or a bad man. All that we're told about him are just the most basic things that you could know about somebody. We're told his dad's name was Terah. We're told his wife's name was Sarai. And we're told his nephew's name was Lot. That's it. That's all we're told about Abram. When he enters into the story, you now know everything the Bible will tell you about this person. He's just a man living in a world full of idol worship when God interrupts his life. And God interrupts his life with a promise. A promise to him that's so big, it almost makes it easy for us to miss. Because it sounds so personal. It sounds like God is speaking to Abram, that God is speaking just to him. And we can read this promise and we go, wow, isn't that great for him? But it's actually the beginning of God's blessing moving outward into the world. God's rescue plan for humanity, the promise that he made in Genesis 3 moves through a promise. Blessing one to bless the world. And so we read in Genesis chapter 12, starting at verse 1, we read this. The Lord said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to where? To the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And through all the peoples on earth, and all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Before Abram even speaks a word in Scripture, this is the first thing we learn about him, that God makes this incredible promise. God is starting something from scratch here. God is choosing a person to form a people who will bless the world. This is the beginning of God's redemption story of his people, God's rescue plan for us. The beginning of a promise that will eventually lead us to Jesus. We need to notice how this works, because this call that God gives Abram, we'll talk about that in a minute, Abram and Abraham, but it speaks to us and it's packed. First, God calls Abram to trust him. God says, go. And keep going until I tell you to stop. He doesn't say, go here. He doesn't say, this is the plan I have for you. I want you to know that I want you to pack up your family and move here. And here's the job you're going to have. And here's how I'm going to provide for you. And here's all the things that I'm going to do to make sure that you're set up for success. God just simply tells him to go. And keep going until I tell you to stop. That's faith. That's obedience without all of the details. That's moving, that's trusting when you don't have the full plan. But you do know that you have the Lord. Second, God promises blessing. Notice how many times when we read, God said, I will. I will, I will. I will make you. I will bless you. I will make your name great. Do you see what that means? This isn't Abraham or Abram achieving something. This is God giving something. God isn't saying, Abram, if you perform, if you do all of these things right, if you listen to the words that I say and you carry them out, if I tell you to do this and you do that, Abram, if you do everything right, then I will bless you. He's saying, Abram, because I am God, I'm going to bless you. And it's so important for us to see this. It's so important for us to be able to see this and understand this and internalize this. It's so important for us to see. We need to see that God moves first. He isn't responding to Abram. We have no record of Abram being a good person. We have no record of Abram being a righteous person. We have no record of Abram being anything. Abram hasn't done anything. He hasn't spoken anything. He has contributed nothing to this story. This is where his story begins. And the reason why it's so important that we see that God isn't responding to Abram, that he's initiating with him, is because this is the gospel. This is the gospel pattern. We don't earn our way into God's rescue. We simply receive it by faith. And third, and this is the heartbeat of our story, God's blessing is meant to move outward. God promises and says, you will be a blessing. And then he says in verse 3, all people on earth will be blessed through you. So this blessing, it's not meant to end with Abram. It's a blessing that flows through Abram. God is not blessing Abram so that all throughout history, throughout recorded our relationship with God, all throughout people everywhere, all times, will know the name Abram. That you are going to be blessed so that you will be famous, that you will be renowned, that you will be all of these things. God isn't blessing Abram so that Abram could be blessed. He's blessing Abram so that the blessing can flow through Abram. God blesses one to reach the many. God may start small, but the blessing goes wide. But my friends, if you blink, you'll miss it. If you're not looking for it, you won't see it. But this moment, when God speaks to Abram, God is planting Christmas into history. Because the blessing that's going to come through Abram's family line will ultimately lead us to the one who would bless the nations. And here's where it gets beautiful. Here's where we see God's amazing creativity and beauty at work. Because the New Testament opens by taking this promise, the promise to Abram, and putting it right up front. Matthew chapter 1, verse 1. The first verse of the first book of the New Testament. That inside your Bible, when the story of God's relationship to his creation, when it turns the page, literally and metaphorically, where we see it go from the old covenant to the new covenant, when Jesus enters into human history, the first book with the first chapter, the first verse of the story of our relationship with God being informed through Jesus says this. This is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, we've been talking about Abram, even though I keep slipping up and calling him Abraham. Same person. There's a whole story behind that. We're not going to get into that this morning. But Abram and Abraham, same person. And I know that genealogies, and we talked about this a little bit last week, they can be the part of the Bible that we like to skim over. That we like to skip over because it's a whole lot of weird names that we don't know how to pronounce and a whole lot of people that we don't know who they are. But Matthew, he's doing something intentional here. Matthew doesn't start with shepherds. He doesn't start with a manger. But instead, he starts the New Testament, the story of our relationship to God changing through the coming of Jesus. He starts the New Testament with a family line. Because he wants you to see this right away. That the story he's about to tell, the story of the life of Jesus, that Jesus doesn't just drop into the story randomly. He doesn't appear out of nowhere, but he's actually the fulfillment of an ancient promise. God says to Abram, through you, all people will be blessed. The whole earth will be blessed. Everyone, everywhere will be blessed because of you. And Matthew starts out his gospel by telling us that that blessing has a name. And its name is Jesus. And when you read this genealogy, name after name, it's not just a list. It's a testimony. It's the testimony of God keeping his word across generations. And if you look at this testimony of God's faithfulness from generation to generation to generation to generation, one thing you very quickly see is it's very messy. It's full of brokenness, failure, regret, and complicated stories. And Matthew, he doesn't hide it at all. In fact, he puts it right in the record. Because Matthew he's basically preaching to us before he even gets to the story of Jesus' life. He wants us to see that God is faithful. That God's blessing, it's not fragile. That God's promises are not easily derailed. That God can carry his rescue plan through real people with real stories. So often, during the story of our life, we can come to places and times and moments where we become fearful if we've done too much, if we've gone too far. Can God still use me? Am I still okay with God? Can God still work through this broken vessel? And a genealogy like this reminds us that through all of these broken vessels, God remained faithful. Through all of these moments and times and places where we can look and we can say, well, that should have disqualified them, and that should have disqualified them, and that should have disqualified them, God remained faithful. And if God can remain faithful to them, it means he can carry his grace into your story too. He can bring peace into what feels fractured. He can bring hope into the places that feel stuck. And he can write new chapters into a book you thought was maybe finished. And this is why the angel can say in Luke chapter 2, as these angels come to pronounce the coming of Jesus, we read in Luke 2, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Back in Genesis 12, God promised that this coming blessing would be for all peoples. And now the angels can announce that this blessing has arrived. The promise is widening. It's being proclaimed for the world to hear. What began with one man and a promise to one man is now spilling out into the whole world. This is the blessing moving outward from Abram through thousands of years of history until it arrives at Jesus. And then through Jesus to the whole world. So what do we do with this? What does this story of God's faithfulness to Genesis 3, to Genesis 12, to Jesus mean for us today? Well, when we look at Abram in Genesis 12, we don't just get this recorded ancient history. But instead, we get a window into the heart of God. We see that God calls, God blesses, and then God sends blessing outward. God has always been a God who blesses, but not so we can keep it to ourselves. He blesses his people so that blessing can move through his people. And the greatest blessing that God ever promised is a person, is Jesus. And it's important for us to see that and to recognize that and to understand that. Because sometimes we can have a misunderstanding of what the blessings of God mean. And sometimes we think God has promised to bless me, and we use that to understand blessing the way we want to assume it means. But blessing does not automatically mean wealth. It doesn't automatically mean fame. It doesn't automatically mean an easy life where everything goes your way. It doesn't even mean a painless, problem-free season. In fact, Abram's story tells us this. There's waiting. There's uncertainty. There's tests of faith. There are moments when the promise feels so far away. Biblical blessing is not God promising you a problem-free life. It's God promising you his presence, his faithfulness, his salvation, and a purpose that's bigger than you, so his goodness can move through you. So here's the invitation today. Here's the invitation to our stories today. First, receive the blessing. The blessing with a name, Jesus. And just like Abram, you don't receive the blessing by earning your way in. You receive it by faith, by surrender, by coming to him and following him. And when you come to him, you receive more than inspiration. You receive forgiveness. You receive a restored relationship with God. You receive a settled heart that doesn't depend on everything going perfectly on the outside. We receive reconciliation, a peace to where there used to be striving, peace where there used to be shame, and peace where there used to be hiding. We receive God with us. And second, live like the blessing is meant to move. God said to Abram, "You will be a blessing." That means that what God has placed in your life is not meant to stop with you. Church family, hear this. Listen to this. Understand this. The blessing that was promised to Abram has reached all the way to you. That you are the fulfillment of God's promise to Abram in Genesis 12. That when God spoke to Abram in Genesis 12, God had you in mind. You are the fulfillment of that promise. And now God doesn't want us to hold on to that blessing. God wasn't faithful to his promise from Genesis 12 up until us for us to just hold it for ourselves. God wants that blessing that made its way all the way from Abram to us to reach through us to the world around us. So here's a simple prayer for us this week. Lord, who in my life needs your blessing? Who needs encouragement? Who needs help? Who needs forgiveness? Who needs a calm, prayerful presence instead of more noise? God, help me to see them. Help me to bring your blessing to the world. Because this is what God has been doing all along. From Genesis 3 to Genesis 12, from Abram to Jesus, and to the church today. Blessing moving outward. Grace spreading. God drawing people home. And so as we walk towards Christmas, my prayer is that we wouldn't just celebrate the Christmas story, but that we would see and celebrate the whole story. That God has been calling and saving and keeping his word all along. Blessing began with a promise. It arrived in a person, and it now moves through a people. So three takeaways for our time together today. First, God's plan moves through blessing. God begins with one person, Abram. Not because the world was improving. Not because he demonstrated his worth, not because he proved himself to be worthy of God's blessing, but because God initiated a blessing that will carry his salvation forward. Second, the blessing has a name, Jesus. Matthew opens his story of the life of Jesus. Our story of the life of Jesus. He opens the New Testament by making it plain. The promised blessing isn't just an idea, a concept, or a lifestyle. It arrives in a person, Jesus, the fulfillment of God's promise. And lastly, God's blessing is meant to move outward. God blesses his people so that the blessings can flow through his people. All peoples on earth will be blessed with good news of great joy, which will be for all people. God never blesses us just for us. He blesses us to bless the world. Let's pray together. Father God, I thank you that as we come to your word this morning, God, we are reminded of your incredible faithfulness. God, your promise to be faithful that began in Genesis 3, that we see begin to take shape in Genesis 12, that carries through thousands of years of history, thousands of years of good, bad, and ugly to lead to Jesus. And God, we gather together today because even from Jesus, you have remained faithful. And God, each one gathered here is a testimony and a reminder of your faithfulness. So God, I thank you that as we walk towards Christmas, we are reminded that you are a faithful God. A God who is faithful to his promises. God, as your word will tell us, that you are faithful even when we're not faithful. And God, I thank you that as we look at genealogies and we look at the stories in the Bible, God, we discover that you are faithful far beyond our ability to be faithful to you. And so God, I pray that that would build in us hope and peace. God, that we would be able to know and see and understand that you are faithful. And God, I pray that we wouldn't be a people who hold on to and hoard your faithfulness. But God, just as we have a testimony that says you were faithful to us, to bring us here, to bless us with your son, God, I pray that we would be faithful to be a blessing to others. God, help us to not hoard the blessings that you've poured out on us. God, not hoard our testimony, not hoard Jesus, but God, may we be a people who carry your blessing into the world around us. God, I thank you that you have blessed us so that we can be a blessing. God, I thank you that you have remained faithful to us. God, may we be faithful to take your blessing into the world around us. God, I thank you for the way you love us. And I thank you for all that your faithfulness means to us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Hillside Church. We're so glad to be able to share God's word with you as part of our church family. Stay connected with us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at Hillside Airdrie. Send us an email at info@hillsideairdrie.ca. You can also reach out to our pastors via our website, hillsideairdrie.ca, by selecting Our Church in the main menu, then Our Leadership from the dropdown. Our vision is to help everyone know God, know His hope, know His purpose, and know His power together. As family, we go,